this one? Is there room for my things? I've been married to you for 45 years, 6 years. Is that right? Nearly 46 years. I've been making room for her things. Every time we go on holiday.
No, don't tell tales on me. That's just not very nice, you know, is it?
We had to get a bigger car. Is there room for my things?
At least I'm tidy. At least my life's not an entire man shed. Like house, garden.
We need to get on because I've got to cut the lawn.
Yeah, I know you have. Yeah. I was just, before we begin, Uzor is there. So I was having a little rook around, and because I am a paper person and I keep paper, and I'm really sorry about this, Uzor. I don't even know why this was in my drawer. But it was Uzor Chibuzo Achuko. I don't know if I ever have said your name correctly, but that's how it goes with me. Favorited one of your tweets. And it was the 20th of June. Oh, I've lost the date. 20th of June, 2013. Can you remember that date?
You're going to now.
Here's the reminder. Well done, Uzor, for passing your driving test and for drumming tonight. We're proud of you.
Wow, there
you
go.
That's amazing.
I remember that. I can remember that now.
Well, it was so epic because it was epic that you passed your test because I said to Stephanie, why do I have this? She's gone. And it was because I think you took quite a lot. How many tests did you take?
Three.
So we were proud of you for passing your test on the 20th of June, 2013. Amen?
That is awesome. Amen, there you go.
And I think, I remember with the worship team at one time, we didn't have a drummer, right? And I'm like, who can drum? Who wants to have a go at drumming? And Uzor was like, I will. And you got behind those drums, and you were like, animal off the Muppets. It was amazing. And here you are, you're still drumming. Incredible. Incredible. So we just thank you so much, Uzor.
Thank you, Uzor.
For all that you've done.
We love
I just you. Wanted to just honour Uzor. We love Uzor. He's amazing.
You got some more there to honour?
I know. I got more next week.
We got more next week. So next week, come back. We can't do. We can't remember.
We can't do
thanks for 30 years in one service. No. So we've got some other things coming up next week.
We were going to ask Dave, but Dave's behind the sound desk.
Yeah, he can. He'll be here next week.
Will he still be here? He'll still be behind the sound desk next week. That is a man shed behind there. Right there is a man shed. Yep.
Do we ever have any ladies behind there?
Sometimes. It is a little bit of a man's world, the sound desk. But any ladies want to have a go? Speak to Dave.
He'd welcome you.
Yeah.
Good to be in church with you. Thanks for coming out this morning.
I've got way too much stuff here.
Don't forget to come next week. The only reason we're doing these services in the morning. No, it's not that.
No, I don't know what you're on about.
I was going to say, come next week for the
party.
For the party.
And the celebration service.
The celebration service, the other stuff that goes on. Mm.
But don't forget Wednesday night.
Yeah, Wednesday night's going to be awesome. I wanted to do like a big finale thing with fireworks and drone display over the church. But because we're doing it in the morning, we can't do that.
No.
So you can only do that.
It's not a really very attractive view anyway, is it? No.
Excellent. So, we're fairly casual this week and last week, but really we're just coming to this type of time where we're just really giving thanks for what God has done. And what is it we can learn from that? 30 years. If you do 30 years, you don't learn anything. You know, some of those years are what can be wasted. And Life Church exists today because 30 years ago, we responded to what we believe God put on our hearts. Anybody got stuff in their life that they say, God's put something on my heart. There's only three of you. You know, God's put something on our hearts. You know, come on. You know, be honest this morning and recognize, you know, we started, Life Church is here and in existence today, isn't it? Because God put something on our heart. You know, when we were just, you know, pretty young. And teenagers, there you go. Teenagers. How do we know it was God, not just a good idea? And I think, you know, if what we say in, as we remember and give thanks for what God has done, if that can help us and help anybody, whether it be a church or not, I believe that's got to be good. Because I believe that a lot of us, you know, we have ideas, and how do we know they're good? How do we know they're God ideas when they just could be good ideas? Because a lot of people can have good ideas, but you know, God, we need to be living with the God ideas that He places in our heart. And sometimes it's difficult to identify what those God ideas are and put them into practice. And you know, this is how church exists. This is how Life Church exists, because God put something in our hearts all those years ago, and we believed it wasn't just a good idea. You know, but we grew up, and we were church people. We were in church. We didn't know a lot of the words necessarily, but we knew enough of the words to know that we needed to be planted in the local church, in a family where we could be committed as members and not just consumers. And so from a very early age, I was raised in church, you know, but Susie, you got saved and you made a decision. Let me just tell people about that decision you made. So you made a decision, you know, because you hadn't been used to being in church on a Sunday morning. You hadn't been used to, you know, bringing that sacrifice. You haven't been used to that discipline.
No, I hadn't. We shared a little bit last week about how we met. If you weren't here, Steve was my blind date when I was 15. How amazing is that? And that was 50 years ago, actually. So we are, you know, we are eligible for the cheap tickets in the cinema. You know, I just turned around to Linda and I said, what do you think? And she's like, yep, let's go for it. So £4.50. If you're over 60, is that correct, Kelvin? Yeah, if you're over 60, right? You know, that's a pretty good deal. So who knows? Maybe that could be us this week. Anyway, you know, and I had actually moved from a busy town, High Wycombe, down to Dorset. It's a little bit of a long story to tell. And I'd ended up living in the middle of nowhere. If any of you know where Broomhill is outside of Wimborne, it's in the middle of nowhere. And I was a townie, then plunged into the countryside. Didn't know anybody. I can remember saying to my dad, oh, when I got saved, oh, this was God's plan. And he's like, what, you're telling me? Like, it wasn't my decision. And I'm like, it was God's plan because I got saved, you know. And he was not impressed. I believe it was God's plan. You know, he orders our steps. I believe he called me by name. I believe that I was here. Now I look back, although I hated leaving my life and my friends, it was the purpose of God. And I was going to find Jesus through relationships, through people that I didn't know, whether that be, you know, the boy that I fancied at the Baptist youth group, you know. And eventually, you know, I'm just so grateful for people who don't live their lives at their own convenience, but actually fulfill the call of God to preach the gospel in any way that they can. And at 15, I think I was, maybe, no, I was 15. We went to a church as a youth group in Winton, where they were showing, and some of you may never have heard of it, the film is really pretty old now, called The Cross and the Switchblade. If you don't know what that's about, look it up, The Cross and the Switchblade. And I was so impacted by this film that at 15, and a complete heathen, I have to say, when the prayer was prayed at the end, I was one of those people who raised my hand, and I just decided, you know what, I'm going to follow this through. And it was tough in a non-Christian family. Although a little bit later on, I discovered that as a teenager, my mother in the children's institution she was raised in also got saved. So there was some common ground there. But I made a decision, you know, and I believe when we get, I think the world is so fluid now. It's so opinion-based. It's so all over the place that, you know, I just want to encourage you, make sure that you're not one of those who loses their first love and walks away. You don't have to. Just because you've got an unsaved spouse or, you know, life's hard or you've got unsaved parents, you don't have to lose your love for Jesus. You've just got to say, I've decided and follow this thing through. And I think if I could, and I was in a little bit of a muddle living somewhere that I didn't know, you know, suddenly deciding, you know what, I'm going to be a Christian. I can remember like loving God, didn't know anything about him, loving the Bible, didn't know anything. I'd not really ever read the Bible, but I just made a decision. I'm going to follow this through. And I've never turned back. It grieves me when I see people turning back, and you've just got to dig yourself into the Word of God. It's there for us all. The Holy Spirit is there for us all. Surround yourself with people. I, as a young teenager growing up, was surrounded by older men and women, like Collins so politely said, the grandfathers. The church was full of older people who I know were praying for me, and it's really important that we are in relationships where people are praying for us and encouraging us, you know, to do the right thing, you know, just teaching us through their example in this crazy world in which we live right now, just pointing us to Jesus all the time and not to some cranky opinion or idea. Don't get me off on that one. You know, all the cranky opinions and ideas that have become theology, and they're not. I got a bee in my bonnet about that. Cause,
I can hear it buzzing.
You know,
so.
I'm so thankful. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, but what you did, you made a decision. You know, I made a decision. We made a decision. When you got saved, you were just looking for opportunities to get involved in church, made a commitment. I'm going to church, and there wasn't. It's like there wasn't a plan B. I'm going to church, and I think we have to remember that all the time, wherever we are, whatever season we're in life, God is always working in us. He's always working something in us. It's something which He's wanting to work in us to bring us to somewhere. Because you know, you can imagine, well, you can't imagine how would things have panned out if you hadn't have made that decision, if you hadn't decided? Yeah. That's right. People come alongside you. And I'm so grateful to someone who invited you to church. Yeah. Not just because she hooked me up with this girl, but because of what it did in Susie's life. She invited her to her church. How many of you are here this morning because you were invited? Just a few? Yeah, you're here because you're invited. So how many of you here have invited someone to church and you scored? You won. Maybe they only came once or whatever. How many of you invited somebody to church and they've come to church? Yeah, that's right. See, it makes a difference, doesn't it? And they came, and in many ways you're the one who sowed that seed, and you've played a part. And maybe, you know, the person that invited Susie to church may not be a part of her life now, but just imagine, you know, if you see her in heaven, oh, you're the one that invited Susie to church, that got her involved in a church, which took her to see a evangelistic film where an altar call was given. That's a bit of an old-fashioned thing to do, isn't it? Gave her an opportunity to get saved. She changed life. Her life was turned around. Weren't even singing those sort of songs in those days. This vagabond, his life was turned around. You know, who knows? See, the part you play, God is working all things together. And I think, you know, we have to be a people who are open for his working, not resist his working in us. You know, and we always wanted to do something that would make a difference. And I hope that's everyone's cry, everyone's heart, that wherever you are in your life, wherever you are in connection with local church, that you want to do something to make a difference. You know, many people want to make a difference in the secular world, but God is looking, I believe, for people who want to make a difference. And you wanted to make a difference. You didn't have social media. Imagine having to make a difference now without social media. You got to physically call someone. You got to physically take someone. You got to physically, you know, you can't just text them and say, "Oh, I've changed my mind." Or else they're going to be waiting on the street corner for the next 3 weeks. So there was a sense of commitments. You know, I'm going to make sure you're there. I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to take you there. We're going to meet at this time. We're going to get you there, and we're going to be in church. And you know, we wanted to make a difference. So in wanting to make a difference, we exposed ourselves to things that were outside of our comfort zone, didn't we? We exposed ourselves to things that we maybe have not experienced before, because I was raised in a very, what I look back at now and see was very traditional. And Susie came into that and she didn't know any different and started to stretch me a bit and started to stretch where we were. And we exposed ourselves to things that are outside of our comfort zone. When you expose yourself to the work of the Holy Spirit and surrender, the results can be quite alarming. That's why I think a lot of people don't want to expose themselves too much to the work of the Holy Spirit, because they're afraid of what may change in their life, of the commitment the commitment there is, and what may happen. And when we get saved, we're not our own, are we? The Bible says we're bought with a price. We are not our own. That totally changes us. We've been turned around. I love those things at times in these declarations we make and the songs we sing, that we have been turned around. We are no longer going in that same direction. You know, we are turned around and we are where we are because of decisions we made. So to get to 30 years, you have to navigate life. You know, whether you're in ministry or not, whether you say you're, but because I believe as Christians, we are in ministry by default. All of us, every person. You know, we are all having opportunities to share the gospel, to minister, wherever you are. You know, I was just picking up the groceries at Tesco's the other day, and I'm able to invite the guy who's there to church. And I'm thinking maybe we're going to work on this, get some little cards where we can have invite cards, where you can just slip an invite card to somebody with a QR code on it, with a thingy, so you can just invite somebody to church. And it's interesting that I was speaking to Pastor Robert on Wednesday night, and because they were a church was very involved in missions all over the place, and I asked him, you know, just I asked him, what are you doing with regard to missions at the moment? And he looked at me and he said, "The Sainsbury's checkout." You see, wherever you are, you can minister at the checkout. When you're buying your groceries, you know, the person that is next to you, wherever you are, at the school, you know, those of you that are involved with taking children to school or, you know, meeting people in different places, you know, the mission field is right here. It's right on your doorstep. You know, we are all ministers by default. So over the last 30 years, we've had to navigate life. And we've learned some things, and as you'd expect, we learned some things in 30 years. How many of you learned some things in 30 years? You know, and we were in this situation where we said, okay, we believed in our hearts. We recognized that God had placed something in our heart to plant a church. And then there was no plan B. And I hope we're better people for it. I hope we're better people for it. But one of the scriptures that you'll know, and one of the scriptures we run back to, is in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. It says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season you will reap if you do not lose heart." And I believe God is looking for people who recognize that what we're doing is for the purposes of God, is for the kingdom of God, and that we recognize that there are times when there's opportunity to get weary. Have you in a situation in life where you think, man alive, there's opportunity to get weary? We look back over 30 years and think there's opportunities when we could get weary and we could lose heart. But you have to be able to have something in you. And when you have decided and when you have no plan B, you have to position yourself and do whatever you have to do so that you are protected from, you know, getting through those seasons of feeling weary. You're able to get through those seasons when it can be easy to lose heart.
Yeah, I think that's really, really important. And as we've got older, we've realized how important that is. Because I can look back over the years and think of a number of occasions, I would say maybe 3 or 4 occasions, when it's become so hard. And I think people, you know, you can see a lot of stuff on social media that glorifies being in the ministry. You're just going to have all these people. You're going to have all this money. Everyone's going to, you know, going to want to come and hear you. And it kind of glorifies the ministry. Back then, we had, you know, tapes, you know, because there was not a lot of Christian TV or anything like that. And you can be put under the wrong thought pattern really quickly if you don't have your foundations right. I'm so glad we didn't have social media 30 years ago, truly. I have to say, I know that it has its uses, and I'm not being like really old-fashioned or anything like that. I know the world is progressing and all the rest of it, but I am really glad we didn't have social media 30 years ago, starting out planting the church, because I think that on its own would have killed us. It would have wiped us out, because it can work for you or against you. And not that many. When we first came in here, there was quite a large hate campaign against us. That on its own was hard enough. But we were 20 years on at that stage and could actually manage with the people around us and with other ministers in the town who supported us. But I can look back and think of 3 or 4 occasions where I said to you, I'm just not going to do this anymore. You know, the cost is too high. I've absolutely had enough. I'm not going to do this anymore. And I remember Robert Marsbach sitting in our house, and the church had just split. We've only really had one split, thank God, over the years. And saying to him, Robert, I'm not going to do this anymore. And he laughed in my face and said, well, what are you going to do then? And I said, well, you know, I think, you know, I always wanted to be a teacher. You know, thinking that was going to be easier. You know, I always wanted to be a teacher. And he just laughed. And he said, well, you can't run from the call.
Right.
But you, again, you know, if you, you know, and I just want to encourage you with this, because I do think these are hard days to navigate. But in every season, you know, God gives you the grace, right, for every season that you're in. And, you know, he knows that we were going to be born in this generation, and he gives us the resources and the help and the grace to navigate the very difficult 21st century with all the stuff that it brings. But I do want to say that there is a strong foundation that every Christian needs to build their life on. And I feel like I'm going to say it because it will help you, and I'm sure that you've heard it many times before. But there are things, I watch Christians building their life upon somebody else's opinion. Is this relevant? Like you've gone quiet on me. Like, is this a... So I think with the day and age of social media, you've got quite a hard job if you want to start a church now or go into ministry. And you have to, you've got to be so disciplined that the only thing you will build your ministry on or your foundations on or your life or your family, the only thing you need to build that on is the Word of God and your relationship with God, right? And on the Word of God. Anything else is sand. And what social media has done, and it will work for you, but it will work against you, is it's become a platform of opinions. Mm. And people will write books about their personal experience or their opinions, and for some people that becomes doctrine. Mm. And you can go to meetings, you can have Holy Ghost experiences, you can go all over the world to different conferences, but if your foundations are not in Christ and Christ alone and in the truth of his word, right, that stuff will not stick.
That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
And I feel it's incredibly important. You know, people have made, I said this to the ladies the other week, there are people that some people have followed hard after for years, more than they have followed hard after God. Their word is the word that they go after. They follow these people on social media, and these people have been set up to fail. They've written books, become millionaires, and then you find out they're a pedophile. Come on.
There you go.
If we can't say this stuff in church and be honest, and
today,
people then feel let down. But if you build your life on the Word of God, where Jesus is your rock, he will never let you down.
Amen.
And you can go and have your Holy Ghost experience.
Yeah,
amen?
Absolutely.
You can go to that conference.
Yes.
And the things that you experience and the things that you learn have got a foundation,
right?
That you can then build on. But if you don't build on the foundation of the Word of God, amen, on the revelation of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be like, you know, like when the farmer, right, he went out and sowed his seed. Your life, my friend, is full of weeds.
Right.
And this is where people fall away from the gospel. They fall away from their life in Christ. Yeah. Oh, I've had this amazing experience. Well, glory to God. But what are you doing with it?
Right.
What when you fell on the ground under the power of God, how have you got up and gone on the next week?
That's right. Yes.
Because if it doesn't change you, but if you don't have church foundations are critical. You know, when we first got married, I was a teenager. Right?
Only just.
I was a teenager.
Not for long.
No, I was a teenager.
No, you were not.
Yes, I was. I was a teenager, and we had no marriage counselling, nothing.
Zero.
There was no podcast, there was nothing out there.
No seven
the
keys.
The church, there was no like love languages, and I'm not running anything down. I just can't bear naming and shaming and running things down. But, you know, we just had the Holy Ghost, and we made terrible mistakes, you know. Like, I mean, he would really annoy me, you know. Because I'm quite fiery, and as you can tell, he's quite quiet. And he would really annoy me.
We had a lovely set.
What?
Like you get a set of crockery.
Everything he's saying is an absolute lie right now.
You know, when we first got married, we could have six people around the table for dinner.
I thought you were going to say I threw it at you. I think
it went from six people to five people.
Thank you very much. Should we leave that? Like, let's park that there, shall we? But it's true. I feel really, really strongly on this foundations. And I, you know, joking apart, I just see so many people build their life on opinions and where opinion has become doctrine. And I'm like, will somebody actually show me where that is in the Bible? Where is it?
You see, if you go back to Sunday school,
Yeah.
And remember what the wise man
built his
house on, and the foolish man built his house on. There's a difference. Mm. And Life Church is where it is today.
Sure.
Because it was built on the solid foundation. Well, if it gets built on the foundation of sand, it can get huffed and puffed and blown away.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Foundation is so important. You know, when Jesus was speaking to Peter, Pastor Rob mentioned this scripture again on last Wednesday night, you know, how there was a foundation which he was able to build on. You know, the flesh and blood foundation doesn't do anything.
No.
It's here today.
Yeah.
Gone tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And there are ministries that are no longer, and ministers who are no longer ministering.
Yeah.
Because of where the foundation was laid.
Absolutely.
And some of those are like shocking. We hear stories of, well, not stories, they're actual events and facts of things that go on in the kingdom of God. And we're looking at how in the world, I would never have thought of them or of that organization. Yeah. And it's what's in the foundation.
Yeah. And you know, we quickly learned that the size of your church doesn't mean a whole lot, really. You know, I think... Is God there? Well, praise him. Amen. If God is there and the presence of God is there, then let's not just be so focused on everything else that the world is impressed by or other Christians are impressed by. But, you know, let's just do the right thing. You know, Jesus said, if you want to follow after me, you deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow him.
There's a price to pay.
There's a price to pay. And I think...
There is a price to pay.
You know, when life is all about... me, right, or you, when life is all about us, it's impossible to keep the command, right, to lay my life down, to love one another, or to prefer one another's needs. Yeah. And so that's a foundation right there.
Yeah.
That is being blown out of the water by, you know, and I understand there's times when you need to just say, hey, I'm not feeling well, I'm overwhelmed, I just need to, you know, just let me just take a breath right now.
Absolutely.
I understand that. But we can't have... I'm going to offend somebody, aren't I? Probably. But you can't... As Christians, that's the foundation, is that we deny ourselves. Hey, we pick up... You know, that we labour, that we... You know, but all of a sudden it's trendy to just not do a thing.
Yeah.
Or to have me as number one.
Yeah.
I'd like someone to show me in the Bible where that is. Because I cannot find it after 50 years of serving God.
Right.
I understand the need to, but you know, to rest and take care of yourself. Otherwise, you're not fit for anything. But these are foundational things that people are blowing out of the church.
Yes.
As doctrine, and they're not. Amen?
Amen.
See, I've offended someone. They're not like amening now.
come on.
Somebody give me an amen. Yes. I mean, if
you need that.
If amen. No one did anything, you know, there is always tension between truth and a lie, mercy and grace, and all the rest of it.
Yes.
So there's truth that you don't get saved through works.
Right.
But
Absolutely.
Jesus said, the harvest is white. Where are the laborers?
Amen.
You know, and if we're slightly like me, you know, orientated, or I'm having a pity party, or I'm this or I'm that, we're going to go on the side of, I don't need to do works to get saved.
Right.
Well, how's anyone going to get saved?
There you go.
If we don't do anything.
There you go.
You know, and so, you know, we have to, don't go to social media or other people's books all the time. For pity's sake, get into the Word of God.
Mm.
Now, please, get into the Word of God.
Yes.
If your parents here, get into the Word of God.
Right.
Because you're setting your children up to fail.
Yeah.
And they'll not survive as the world gets tougher.
Right.
You may have a child at the end of the day then who doesn't know who they are, instead of a child who knows fully who they are.
Right.
Because they are in Christ.
Amen.
Amen? Let's not add to the problems. Let's be people who are here to say, look, we have the answer. We don't need to join in with the trash that becomes doctrine.
Amen.
This is my message. It's not doctrine.
That's good.
It's someone's opinion.
You're preaching good. You're preaching good.
But it's not. I get so wound up with stuff. Yeah. Because we've paid such a price.
We did.
Yeah. You have to pay such a price. Yeah. And if we had sat back, if I had gone with my feelings on those times, you know, and I'm not the be-all and end-all. God will have an answer. But we've paid such a price. I can't even tell you the price we've paid.
Right.
For you to sit in that gloriously grubby blue chair this morning.
Some of you know some of that. Some of you know nothing of the price we paid. You know, it's been vast. You know, that's why we so appreciate people that go through life with us. And you saw Pastor Eddie there on the screen, just there from the sun-drenched palm desert where he lives and sees rain about 3 days a year, that sort of thing. But you know,
it's not about where you are.
No, not at
all.
It's
about the call.
Yes.
And everybody has the same issues.
Yeah, that's right.
Sure.
He paid a heavy price. He was with us, and even his family were with us when they were paying a heavy price, you know, in the ministry, in their life. And we were able in that season to help them. And in turn, in a season when we were paying a heavy price, they were able to help us.
Yeah.
And so there's having people around you who support you in who you are.
Sure.
Who stand with you in who you are, who recognize that, you know, there are seasons in life when it is easy to grow weary.
Yeah.
That's when you need people around you to strengthen you, to hold your hands up and come alongside you.
Sure.
And that is one of the reasons why church is so important.
Yeah.
You imagine if you're Christians, you're outside of a church family, they haven't got that support when they go through challenging times.
Yeah.
It's just one of the reasons why it's so important to be a part of a local church and involved in that.
I don't think we'd have survived without people that just got in their car and came.
That's right.
When
we
had a crisis.
Yes.
And they would get, like, Pastor Robert would come. I'll be there.
Yeah.
And, like, you guys need a holiday, virtually book our tickets to go somewhere.
Oh,
you know,
yes,
I'll
he
be
did.
There.
Yeah.
I don't think we would have survived without that backup.
No.
See, because we're not supposed to do life alone.
No. We're supposed to do life in community.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when we say, this is my home. This is when we say, if you're here and you say, Life Church is my home, you know, then you unpack your bags and you settle in.
That's right, yeah.
You know, and we all shove along the table and say, there's room for you at this table.
Yeah, you make room. That's right,
you know,
yeah.
We just shove along.
Yeah.
And say, you know, we don't care where you've come from or what your background is. We're just going to shove along, like Steph said the other day. You know, when you're having, you know, the family round, and there's not enough room at the table, we just say, everybody shove up, and you chuck an extra chair in.
Yeah.
Even if someone's like on the very corner of the table, right, with their plate hanging off the edge.
Yeah.
You know, you move
maybe
up.
Maybe that's how it got broken.
Yeah, you know, maybe that's how that got broken. That's true. But it is important, you know, that people are there. And you unpack your life in the family of God.
Yeah.
Where you're vulnerable and
you're
transparent, you know, you pull down some of those boundaries that have ceased to become boundaries and more like barbed wire, you know, like, let's just get over some of this stuff and be the household of God, amen?
Right.
You know, because, you know, I just got a little quote here that I say, at the end of the day, you lay your own table and that's what you feast on.
Right.
And I find that is just so true of life.
Mm.
You know, this is where our foundations are so important.
Yeah.
Because we lay our own tables and then we complain about what's served up.
There you go. Yeah.
You feast on what you
do.
What you lay up. It's really important that we lay up on the word of God.
Right. Be specific.
And we, you know.
You know, be, in, you know, but you be intentional.
Yeah.
With where you put your energy, where you put your time, where you put where you have your focus.
Mm. I think the church is really important, you know, don't you?
Yeah.
I think people are important. I think we've learned that more and more over the years. It's become so important to us.
Right.
And like back last year, God said, you know, I can't remember exactly how he said it to us, but he says, don't build a service, build a family.
Right. Yes.
We've talked about this before.
Flesh and blood will build a service. Flesh and blood can build a meeting.
Yeah.
But my Father who is in heaven.
Yeah.
Is who's going to bring revelation and bring change. And it takes people to respond to his word, to be open and to allow yourself to be vulnerable. You know, so often, you know, we get in life to a place which is comfortable for us, and that's where we stay.
Yeah.
We don't allow ourselves to be stretched. And so we say things, well, I don't do that.
Mm.
You know, that's not the sort of person I am. Well, if you start talking about how we identify, you know, we identify as sons and daughters of the Most High God.
Mm.
We identify as people whose lives have been transformed by the power of God. We identify as people who are new creations in Christ Jesus. That's who we are.
Mm.
And when we recognize that's where our identity is, it changes how we present ourselves. And so, in the days in which we live. In where people say, "I'm going to identify as this or I identify as that," that you'll see them promoting what they identify as.
Mm. It's truth.
We need to recognize who we are, who we identify as sons and daughters of the
Absolutely.
Most High God.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have been transformed. Mm. You know, you prayed a prayer, raised a hand.
Yeah.
You know, I raised a hand. I can't remember exactly how it was, but it was in a little Baptist church somewhere. Well, I know exactly where it was actually, in Wimborne. But, you know, we made that decision. Then we made a decision. It wasn't just something we just sat back and said, well, I've done that now. Yeah. I've ticked that box. Can I now get baptized? Tick that box. It's something which we decided. Yeah. Our life has been transformed. It's changed. And we don't know all the answers yet. And we're going to make decisions. We're going to make mistakes. But we're focused. We haven't got a plan B.
Mm, absolutely. But the church is just important in helping us work that out.
Yes.
Isn't it? So, you know, it's not... I don't think we should ever be running away from the house of God.
Right.
You know, if we have the right view of the house of God and its family, then it's not somewhere that we run away from.
Right.
It's somewhere that we can run to.
Yes.
Because knowing that we're accepted and loved, you know. So it's being part of a family for sure.
Absolutely. We have challenges in life. And we have these opportunities to grow weary. We have opportunities to lose heart.
Mm.
And just as we close up of... You nearly finished, or we carry on next week. But
yeah.
I know we got stuff to do, and we don't want to keep you here too long. But just two points I've got here. When it comes to, you know, don't be somebody who's just fair weather.
Yeah.
A fair weather Christian. Be one of those who is committed. And that's why how a church can be where it is, because you've got people involved who recognize relationships and recognize the power of that, and also keep a good heart.
Yeah.
You know, keep a good heart. Just when we're going back to relationships, you see, David was in a situation where he was being hounded by Saul.
Mm.
He was being hounded by Saul. He had challenges. He had every opportunity. David, who became king, he had every opportunity to say, "This is too hard for me.
Mm.
I've got weary in having to protect myself from Saul, who's out to get me." He had every opportunity, but he had people around him who would help him. And in 1 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 17, in verse 16, it says he was on the run from Saul, but Saul had a son. His name was Jonathan. And then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. Some translations say encouraged him. Come on, you need people around you. That's why church is so important, so good, that you have people around you who will encourage you and who will strengthen your hand in your God, who have the same mind, who have the same attitude, who have the same God, who have similar vision, who have similar things in their heart. They will strengthen you, they will get alongside you, and they will strengthen your hand in God. How many of you had experiences in life where you've had issues where you've needed somebody to come alongside you and just come, you know, you've been feeling like you're weary, you've been feeling like you're losing heart in something, you've faced some challenge in life, and you've got somebody, because you're part of a church family, you've got somebody who will come alongside you many times without any questions and just say, "Come on, I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to lift you up." Like Suzanne said earlier, you know, I'll jump in my car and I'll be there.
Yeah.
You know, I'll do this for you, I'll get alongside you. And he went on in verse 17 and said, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be king of Israel, and I shall be next to you. I'm going to stay close to you. Even though he's my father, I'm going to stay close to you because I know what God's put in your heart. Even my father Saul knows that. So the two of them made a covenant before God. They made a covenant. When you're in the house of God, when you're part of a body of Christ, there are covenant relationships. You know, we come around a communion table together. We're recognizing covenant and the covenant we have with Christ, but also the communion table is a demonstration of the covenant we have with each other. It's amazing how people will come and take communion together and they'll slack somebody off.
Yeah.
They'll be mean to somebody. And yet just 30 minutes ago, you were standing around a communion table together. You were recognizing covenant. And so there's that sense of covenant that says things like, I'll be there. You know, I'll go out of my way. Sometimes, you know, we have so many plans that are our plans.
Yeah.
Jesus, God said, I know my plans for you. But you so we fill our lives with our plans.
Yeah. Build our houses. The house of God.
And yet, we back off from demonstrating a covenant relationship.
Sure.
And then secondly, I see how important it is to keep a good heart. To keep a good heart. You know, the Bible says there in Galatians, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. If we do not lose heart, or if our heart gets sick, if our heart gets, you know, damaged. So keep a good heart. A little bit in the next chapter of Samuel, still talking about David here. David had an opportunity to take Saul out. Found him in a cave. Could have taken him out. He said, moreover, my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand. Or is that like cut off the corner of your robe? You know, you were doing your business in the back of the cave. I snuck up on you with a knife, cut the corner of your robe. Well, here it is. I could have taken your life. I didn't kill you. No one see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand. And I have not sinned against you, yet you hunt my life. We have people hunting our lifetime to take it. And let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you. But my hand shall not be against you. I'm keeping my heart right.
Yeah.
I'm keeping my heart right. We've made a lot of mistakes. And by the grace of God, where we are. I believe as we've got older and as we've got more mature, I hope, we're able to keep our heart right. You know, there's been so many opportunities where we had to, just check my heart.
Sure.
Check my heart. Years ago, we didn't.
No.
We would just blur it out there. If it had been social media there, then those days, we'd have put it all across there. And yeah.
Don't do it, church.
Just come on. Guard my heart. Yeah.
Sure.
Bible says, guard my heart with all diligence.
Yeah.
Or out of it spring.
That's right.
The issues of life.
Yeah.
I see so many people's issues paraded on social media.
My mother used to say, don't hang your dirty washing out on the line.
There you go.
Just don't do it.
No.
It doesn't glorify God
at
all. It's horrible. It's a horrible witness. And actually, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, by the love you have one for another. And offenses, you know, people use that scripture. Well, Jesus said offenses will come, and woe to those from whom they come. But it also says in the Bible, cover the offense.
I tell you, that's one of the things we've learned over the years.
You cover it.
To be able to absorb offense.
Yeah. You have to.
Just take it on.
wouldn't be here, would we?
Yeah.
If we hadn't.
Just be like a big sponge.
You know,
don't Don't let it get you.
Yeah.
You know, that
love
person.
Love anyway.
That person.
Yeah. Be graceful anyway.
Maybe they're having a hard day.
Yeah.
Maybe they've got stuff going on in their life which we know nothing about. Let's just love them.